Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council meeting this January 27th, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad is absent. Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
And Mayor Prus?
Here. Madam, would you please rise for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance?
We are humbled and grateful for the opportunity to serve the Fairbanks community and be a part of something greater than ourselves. As this body once again addresses city business, may each member gain wisdom from the perspectives of others, and may deliberations be thoughtful and fair. Amen.
Amen. Ms. Sprinkle, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Clerk?
We're at ceremonial matters.
Mr. Sanders, you have a special person, an intern, sitting next to you. Why don't you introduce Skye to us and tell us about her?
All right. Well, we are very fortunate. We have Skye. All right, I'm just going to have you say it. Last name?
Skye Kakwatosh.
Sorry, I would have screwed that up.
We'll remember that.
Yeah, I would have messed that up. I was practicing a second ago. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to have her do it. Skye is an intern with us from West Valley High School. She's a junior. She is, this is only our second week, but I'll tell you, from what I've seen, she is a very intelligent, very smart, very articulate, and very motivated student. And we're really lucky to have her.
And you're interning with Mike? Okay. Madam Clerk?
We are at Citizens Comments, oral communications to the City Council on any item pertaining to city business that is not up for public hearing. The total comment period is 30 minutes and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway or must have signed up in advance using the procedures for providing online testimony found at the city's website. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the City Council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
First up, we have Bobby Nicolaitis. Mr. Nicolaitis. Yep. Mr. Nicolaitis, please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Bobby Nicolaitis. I reside at 1651 Second Avenue, and I work at 609 Second Avenue downtown. Thank you very much, all of you, for seeing me. All these years that I've been here, 30-some years, I've never been here. It's quite an honor, and thank you so much again. I thought that I would have to address this. There's this particular problem that a lot of people do not know because they don't live downtown, especially later in the evening. Most of you should know that there is a problem downtown, specifically with the regards to the federal post office. It got to the point that I don't know how to approach it, and I don't have the answers. To the point that we're open for business at 4 o'clock, we're right opposite from the post office, and we have to deal with, I'm not gonna use the word drunks, because they could be high on drugs or something else, that they come in and they try to punch the hostess, young lady, 23 years old, or my sister. It's becoming to the point that I don't know what to do and how to go about it. We have younger kids that work as bus people, like bus boys, bus girls. The other day, particularly, we had to get to escort a girl to her car because there were a number of people outside on 3rd Avenue facing the restaurant that they, I'm sorry, but they took their pants down and they went to the bathroom right in front of the girl. So she came back crying, of course. My sister took her to the car. We waited outside in the parking lot until she drove away. This has been going on for years. Specifically in 2013, January the 1st, I was the one, that's 12 years ago, I was smoking a cigarette outside on 3rd Avenue. January the 1st, we were open for business back then. And I saw something that resembled fire inside the post office. So I crossed the street and I looked. Yes, there was a human being on fire. So I went back to the restaurant. I called the fire department. I took one of our cooks and one of our dishwashers, which they're still working at the restaurant today. And we took some those small fire extinguishers. We put the fire out. We found later that the person died because of his injuries. But to this day, nobody has come to us at the restaurant from the police department or any agency to say, Bobby, John, Nick, was there anybody else in there while the guy was on fire? Nobody. It's like the guy never existed. And that doesn't sit well with me because I'm there. I'm there all the time. I spend 20 hours at the restaurant, 18 to 20 hours on a daily basis.
Thank you, Mr. Nicolaitis. Is there any questions for Mr. Nicolaitis? Mr. Nicolaitis, I would encourage you to stick around during my mayor's comments. We'll be addressing some of this tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor. There's a lot of other things, but the 3 minutes limit me. Yeah. We have a problem with those people coming into the restaurant, mm-hmm. harassing customers. And just the list is endless. Something's got to be done. And I don't know how to address it.
You're absolutely right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Marty.
So is this getting better or worse?
Worse to the point, I'm going to give you just a plain Jane example. Can we use the bathroom? What are you going to say as a human being? Of course you can. Yes, that's why bathrooms are for. But when that person goes into the bathroom, regardless of sex, and half an hour passes by, and if it's a woman, then I have to tell my sister, or if my sister is busy, I got to tell a waitress to go and check, only to find the person naked inside the stall. It's getting worse.
And you do so much for this community as far as feeding the homeless.
Oh.
You do a lot.
Well, thank you, but everybody should do something like that, especially when they own a restaurant, because with a restaurant, you can do stuff like that. You cannot invite 100 people or 200 people at your house, but at a restaurant, you can do it. But that's, and I'm not going to stop doing that. That's totally aside. And those people that are the problems is only probably always, it's always the same case. There's always half a handful that make it worse for everybody else. But, and the police, we'll never bother the police. We'll pick up the police, the phone, and call what? And tell them that there's a drunk sleeping outside? Or somebody's using the parking lot as a facility in front of customers? No, the police has better things to do. Well, I just don't know how to address it.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nicolaitis. Next up, we have Scott McRae with Explore Fairbanks. Mr. McRae, please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Pruse, Council Members. Scott McRae here in my capacity as President and CEO of Explore Fairbanks to extend an invitation to Council and the Mayor to attend our Interior Tourism Conference taking place Wednesday, February 12th at the Westmark Hotel. Mayor, I believe we have you on the docket to be the welcome remarks in the morning, so looking forward to seeing you there. So we got a great lineup for this year's annual conference. Our keynote speaker is a travel writer, travel correspondent, presenter by the name of Doug Lansky. His topic is going to be on the visitor experience design, getting tourists to behave better and spend more. So kind of the focus is that when a visitor comes to a destination, every touch point within the community from the moment they arrive at the airport to they leave kind of defines their experience. So how can we as a community make that experience as positive as possible so that they do spend more and that they want to come back. That'll be followed by Brand USA. We'll be doing a virtual presentation on the international tourism forecast for the United States, which is an ever-changing landscape. So it'll be a good opportunity to hear what does international tourism look like, not just for the U.S., but do it specific to Alaska as well. We then have what I'm calling kind of the rock stars of the Alaska cruise industry for a panel discussion on the future of the Cross Gulf Alaska and cruise land tours. That'll include Ralph Samuels with Holland America, Josh Howes, who's president of Premier Alaska Tours, and Lainey Downs, who's with the Cruise Line Industry Association of Alaska. Our lunchtime speaker will be Jeremy Applegate, Chief of Wage and Hour for the Department of Labor. He'll be talking about the impacts of Ballot Measure 1 that was passed in November and what businesses need to do to prepare for that when it becomes law on July 1st. There's a lot of questions that small businesses have, so he's going to try to break it down to make sure everyone's understanding what lies ahead when that goes into effect. Then we'll have a presentation on new and upcoming developments within the regional tourism industry that'll feature the new auto museum fountain that Fountainhead has coming up this year, moving the auto museum over to the old Kmart building, combining the aviation museum. Jonathan Huff talking about the 8-Star Event Center, UA Museum talking about their Bus 142 project in the planetarium, and then the Santa Claus House talking about their expansion. And last two presenters, Joey Crum, who's president and CEO with Northern Industrial Training, doing a presentation on the future of work in Alaska and just some current issues and challenges facing workforce development. And I'll be the closer for the presentation, doing a presentation on the current state of the industry. And probably the most exciting thing about that presentation is at the very end, we will reveal our brand new mascot for Explore Fairbanks. So you gotta be there to see it. So again, I'll send an email invitation so everyone has it, but would love to have you there. And you can come for the morning session, you come just for lunchtime, or come for the whole thing. So we try to break it down for people's time. So thank you very much and appreciate what you do in our partnership.
Ms. Tidwell.
When did you say that one? Did you say the 12th?
Yes, Wednesday, February 12th over at the Westmark.
Any other questions for Mr. McRae? Seeing none, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it.
All right, yes, thank you all.
Next up, we have Victor Burbage. Mr. Burbage, please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Victor Burbage. My address and information is on file. This time last year, I went down to Las Vegas, and I'm going to go again here in a few days and try my luck down there for a couple of weeks and just hopefully I don't come back and have a heart attack like I did last year. So wish me luck. But we haven't talked much about the old Polaris building here lately, and maybe the mayor could kind of update us a little bit on what is the plan the city has for it, other than, you know, my guess is the Polaris Group buying it and doing a $200-300 million project down there in the future. You know, maybe update us on what the plan is for the city to do with the property, and who other than the Polaris Group might end up with it to do something for the future. And just keep us informed and maybe try to adhere to some of the OSHA standards with that crane down there this summer. A lot of violations with that crane set up, and I'm not a real crane person, but all I know, there's a lot of violations, and probably other people on the board here or in the council know of it. Just be careful with it. We don't want no incidents to happen within the crane falling over or injuring anybody. And so just kind of update us, keep us informed what the plan is. There's got to be some type of a plan, because you guys been rolling this Polaris building around for what, 20 years now? You know, you just haven't been doing it for the fun of it. You know, somebody's got a plan behind it. And I had some of this stuff where they had a group that was like a $200 million project proposed for it a few years ago. I haven't read over that or anything here for the last couple of years, but, they probably enhanced that project since then. Just clue us in, let the public know, because it's all going to be done with taxpayers' money no matter what. Hey, thank you, and you guys keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Any questions for Mr. Burbidge? Seeing none, thank you, sir. Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up online to give public testimony?
No, sir.
Is there anyone else in the gallery here wanting to give public testimony? Bryn?
I signed up on that one, sorry. I was the only one that signed up.
Please state your name for the record. You'll have 3 minutes.
Bryn Butler. I'm here as the housing coordinator for the city. First of all, I wanted to let everybody know that the Project Homeless Connect event is going on tomorrow at the J.P. Jones Center, 2400 Rickert Street, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a one-stop shop for people that are experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness. We'll have service providers there, access to resources. I want to be very specific and say there's not housing there because people come and want to be housed, and that's not what happens, right? We can connect to services. We'll have haircuts that are being provided by Beyond the Mirror Salon, screenings and assessments by medical people, immunizations, food, supplies, things of that nature. So that'll be all going on down at the J.P. Jones Center tomorrow. There will be free buses to the location. We just got that cleared, so that's pretty exciting because nobody wants to be walking there with all this ice. That would be very detrimental. So not in regards to the Project Homeless Connect, but in regards to something that was just spoke about earlier. I want anybody who's listening, including you, sir, back there, I'm going to give you my card, that if anybody's having any problem with homeless individuals and you don't feel like it's at the capacity of needing to call the police, I'm going to give you my business card, and you can come call me, and I'll come over and see what I can do. I'm not a police officer. I'm not, I have no authority whatsoever, but they can see me coming from a mile away because I wear a bright pink coat, and they know I mean business, and a lot of times they'll just disperse and try to be on better behavior when I'm watching. So I want to offer that as a resource because, as was stated, it's not each and every person that's experiencing homelessness out there. It is a good, you know, 10 to 12 people that are being problematic, and it is escalating. And so just wanted to throw that out there as a resource, and thank you guys for all you do. That's all I have.
Any questions? Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you for the update. On the new warming shelter, what are their hours?
Warming center.
Warming center, yeah.
They are open from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Monday, every day of the week.
Ms. Sprinkle.
That was my topic as well. Can you give me, has it gone well? Is that a good place for it? Are you hearing good things?
So we're really glad it's open and people are not out there freezing. From what I've been told, it's well attended by those that need it in the evenings. I know that there have been a few instances of issues, but that's all I can speak to of that. But I'm glad it's open. I'm going to go there this evening and do the point in time count for HUD. And so I'll let you know what I see when I get there.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Clearworth.
To follow up on that, do you know what their capacity is?
49.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Butler? Seeing none, thank you very much, Bryn.
You're welcome.
Anyone else who wants to give public comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Madam Clerk.
We are at approval of agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second?
Second.
Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you, Mayor. Three items under new business. It would be 12F, G, and H, ordinance 6304, 05, and 06.
Okay. Anything else? Mr. Marty.
I would like to pull J in that same section.
J, okay. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of December 16th, 2024, and the regular meeting minutes of January 13th, 2025. It also approved resolution number 5157, a resolution awarding a contract to NC Machinery Company to provide a motor grader in the amount of $432,119, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved resolution number 5158, a resolution awarding a contract to RWC International LTD to provide an asphalt truck in the amount of $411,811, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved resolution number 5159, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation for the federal fiscal year 2025, for the fiscal year 2025, Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity Discretionary Grant Program for Island Home Subdivision Reconstruction, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved resolution number 5160, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the fiscal year 2026 congressionally directed spending appropriations for the Island Home Subdivision Reconstruction, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved resolution number 5161, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the Alaska Division of Homeland Security for the federal fiscal year 2025 State Homeland Security Program, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6307. An ordinance reestablishing the incentive bonus program with the Fairbanks Police Department for recruitment and hiring, introduced by Mayor Pruse. It approved it accepted the Fairbanks Diversity Council meeting minutes of November 12, 2024, and the Discretionary Fund Committee meeting minutes of December 6, 2024. It approved memorandum regarding codification error of FGC 70-42 sale or disposal form, and it approved the memorandum regarding the City Clerk 2025 travel budget. We are returning to the general agenda. We're near the top of page two at special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. I will read the license number and doing business as names into the record. License 3965, Republic National Distributing Company, and license number 725, Midnight Mine.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest on these alcohol license renewal applications? Mr. Marnie, is there a second? Ms. Sprinkle, is there any citizen here wishing to speak on the alcohol license renewal applications? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to state your name for the record. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council, any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please? Oh, Ms. Sprinkle, of course.
Asterisk was about, because I don't think we've seen this before. There's nothing crazy here, right?
I can help.
Could you, Madam Clerk, would you please?
Thank you.
So what was previously allowed under state law as a duplicate liquor license has gone, that duplicate has gone away with the Title IV rewrite, and now it's called a multiple fixed counter endorsement, and all it means is that there are two counters that aren't connected within the establishment that serve liquor.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Thank you. May I also just make the comment that with regards to that Midnight Mine, I'm very, very sad at the recent news we've had about it, so I just wanted to make that a public situation. It was terrible, terrible news, and I hope that doesn't impact how we make a decision tonight.
Any other comments? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth? Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
I think she's motioning yes.
And Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Okay, the motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
Item B of special orders, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following marijuana license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken in limited 3 minutes. I will read license number and doing business as names into the record. License number 26251, Good Sense LLC, This is the retail marijuana store. License number 20827, Good Titrations, retail marijuana store. License number 20829, Good Titrations, standard marijuana cultivation facility. License 16091, Tannenall Herb Company, LLC. This is the marijuana concentrate manufacturing facility. License 14467, Tannenall Herb Company, standard marijuana cultivation facility. License 15814, Tannenall Herb Company, retail marijuana store. And license 14874, Goodsense, LLC, product manufacturing facility.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest on these marijuana renewal license applications?
So moved.
By Ms. Therrien, second by Ms. Sprinkle. Is there any citizen here wishing to speak on these marijuana renewal license applications? If so, please come forward, state your name for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Council, any discussion? Mr. Cleworth.
Mayor, actually a question for you. When we had the complaints, and this is in regards to cultivation facilities. When you had the complaints over on First Avenue in that area, the assumption was it was coming from the railroad yards, which would probably be this Well Street one. Is that appropriate? Did you talk to those people?
Yes. You know, every time I've given them a call, and I get a complaint probably on that side of town once every 4 to 5 months, and they're very proactive. And yet again today, we had one on 16th Avenue on South Cushman.
Yeah.
And so when I get it, I give or go see the people and tell them they need to look at their exhaust system. Is it in bloom? What are they doing? Because we don't have to live with the smell. Simple as that. So I've not heard anything, any complaints about from Tana Herb Company. And every time I've contacted them, they've been very active on trying to fix whatever it is.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, it usually tends to be the complaints I get are around 23rd Avenue down there.
That, which is today the first time on the 16th Avenue, across from,
So. And over there where you live.
Due to the fact that I have allergies, my sense of smell is quite diminished. So people have to tell me of the issue versus me knowing the issue. And I hear of the issue over there, believe me. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
We're at Mayor's comments and report.
We have in the audience here the Assistant Attorney General, State of Alaska, Fairbanks, Mr. Joe Dalio. Would you please come up? You're under my time frame, so you have no time limit.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Dallaire. I'm the District Attorney here in Fairbanks. And I know I visited you several months back. I don't remember how long ago that was, and was kind of asked to come up and give some comments about my office and the work that we do, kind of impromptu. And I know that at least one of the council members asked if I wouldn't mind coming back periodically to have that communication with the city council. And I spoke to Mayor Pruse last week and indicated I'd be here this evening. So here I am to kind of talk to you about the work of the DA's office. First, we'll start with, you know how lawyers like exhibits in court. Let's start with the exhibit to my left. Give you guys an idea of the jurisdiction that my office covers. Over here, we've got a jurisdictional map, court venue map of the state of Alaska. The area highlighted in red is the area that my office here in Fairbanks is responsible for. So you can see that it's a pretty large geographic expanse. The area in blue we're also responsible for with a second office up in Utqiagvik. But here in the red area, that's an area roughly the size of the state of California that we're responsible for. And most of our business is here in the Fairbanks vicinity, but we've also got court locations in Tok, Delta Junction, Nenana, Fort Yukon, and Galena. So we're kind of spread out all over. Now, who's doing that important work? Well, my office here in Fairbanks has 33 positions. Not all those positions are filled, but we do have 33 positions doing that work. 16 of whom are prosecutors. And we've got it spread out amongst multiple units within my office, just so you kind of understand how we're organized. My deputy district attorney is our dedicated homicide prosecutor. Other felony attorneys prosecute homicides as well, but he's kind of our lead on homicides. I've got a special victims unit that whose primary responsibility it is to prosecute sexual abuse, sexual assault, and domestic violence felonies. I've got a general crimes unit whose responsibility it is to prosecute felonies that don't fall within the SVU. And I've got a misdemeanor crimes unit. I also have a rural crimes prosecutor, and I have a retail crimes prosecutor. And I gave a presentation recently to the Fairbanks, Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce about our retail crimes prosecutor position, whose role it is to pursue thefts, burglaries, assaults, robberies that are occurring at our retail installations here in the interior. 2024 case statistics. Those 33 positions last year were responsible for roughly 3,400 case referrals from law enforcement. Our law enforcement partners largely consist of the Fairbanks Police Department, the Alaska State Troopers, North Pole Police, the University Police, and the Airport Police. We received nearly 700 felony case referrals. We received over 2,400 misdemeanor case referrals. We received a little over 200 petitions to revoke for probation, and we received roughly 50 juvenile delinquency cases. Last year, calendar year 2024, my office indicted well over 400 felony cases. Included within that amount, multiple homicide cases, roughly 25 sexual abuse or sexual assault cases, roughly 100 felony assault cases, roughly 28 burglary cases, roughly 76 felony theft cases, roughly 22 vehicle theft cases, roughly 26 failure to stop at the direction of a peace officer cases, roughly 23 felony DUIs, roughly 25 felony cases involving misconduct involving weapons, roughly 9 robberies, roughly 9 terroristic threatening cases, roughly 15 escapes, and roughly 6 failure to register as a sex offender cases. We had a lot of trials in calendar year 2024. 56 cases either went to trial or at least started the hearings that come right before trial. Of those 56, 49 went to verdict. Of the 49, we received some kind of conviction in 36 of them. We received acquittals in 13 of them. Some notable cases, and again, we serve or we work alongside multiple police agencies, but I want to call to your attention some cases that were recently closed out in our office where the Fairbanks Police Department was central to the investigation and ultimately the prosecution of these cases. The first, the State of Alaska versus Stephanie LaFountain, otherwise known as Stephanie Bilecki. This is case 4FA-182151CR. You may recall that this individual was charged with the murder of her two children, one in 2015 and one in 2017. This individual was finally sentenced in December of 2024, and Ms. Bilecki, after pleading to two counts of murder in the second degree, received a total sentence of 130 years with 85 suspended. Another case that just went to sentencing very recently, last week, I believe, State of Alaska versus Joshua Butcher. This is case 4FA-2102698CR. You may recall that Mr. Butcher is the individual who murdered somebody outside Safeway and then entered the store and started firing inside the store. This man pled guilty to murder in the first degree, and he pled guilty to two counts of assault in the third degree. He was subject to a maximum sentence of 109 years based upon the convictions. My office advocated for the maximum sentence to be imposed, and I am happy to report that what was imposed by the court in that year is 85 years flat. And so this individual served an 85-year sentence for the crimes perpetrated on the victims in that case and upon our community in general. And I call these to your attention because the Fairbanks Police Department, over which you have oversight, was directly involved in the investigation and ultimately the successful prosecution of these matters. So that's kind of my update for this evening. I don't know if folks have questions. I've heard some concerns this evening, being an audience member in the back, about specific characteristics about community safety. I am aware of them. I will tell you that I had a brief conversation with Mayor Pruse about this last week. I had a brief conversation with brief communication with Fairbanks Police Command about this last week. It is on my radar, and I will tell you that I am planning to have a meeting tomorrow with postal leaders regarding some of the concerns that I'm hearing. But I will leave it at that. Does anybody here have any questions for me?
Mr. Clearworth.
Thank you for your report tonight. Question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it your office that exercises a guardianship, or how does that work?
No, sir. My office is strictly criminal work. Criminal work or matters relating to criminal work, like post-conviction relief work, but we don't get into guardianship.
But it would start with you, would it not? If you have a chronic customer, so to speak, that you see again and again and again, or somebody with a very strong mental issue?
So my office has jurisdiction over criminal matters, sir, and we can also begin the process of civil commitment for folks under certain circumstances. But as far as guardianship, my office doesn't get involved in those matters.
You don't refer to that? You don't refer people to them for that procedure? No.
No. I mean, I've been in my office nearly 18 years, and I haven't seen our office get involved in any of those matters, sir. We handle criminal prosecutions. And so, again, if there are people that are deemed to be mentally incompetent, for which under our laws they may not be able to stand trial as a legal matter because a judge has ruled that they are mentally incompetent, we may be involved at the very outset of some type of a civil commitment proceeding. But otherwise, we do not get involved in things that are outside the criminal world.
Who does that?
I would speak to the Attorney General's office about that.
Okay. Thank you.
What time is your meeting with the postal people tomorrow?
I believe it is set up for 1:30 in the afternoon, sir.
Would it be an imposition for me to attend?
No, I'm happy to have you attend, Mayor. I will have my paralegal reach out to the folks that we've invited. I believe it is the postmaster and the supervisor for the downtown post office, and I'm happy to have you attend.
Is that at your office?
It will be at my office, sir.
I'll see you there. Then, Mr. Marnie.
I just want to thank you for your involvement, your local involvement, and your dedication.
I appreciate that, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, thank you for coming and telling us about what's going on in your office. Do you do any coordination with the Native organizations?
We do have communication.
To deferrals?
What type of deferrals, ma'am?
Well, just maybe not necessarily having someone prosecuted, or maybe having the Native organization handle the issue instead.
The deferrals that we generally deal with outside of typical court processes involve the Fairbanks Community Restorative Justice Program. We do have relationships or communications with our Native entities. By and large, the area where we have most of those communications involves the murdered or missing Indigenous people. And so that would include involvement with both FNA and TCC. As to cases that get deferred outside of the traditional criminal justice process, again, most of them would go to the Fairbanks Community Restorative Justice Program, which is housed at UAF, and with whom we have partnered to create this program. And typically, there are lower-level offenses where these folks are sent. They show up to arraignments, and if they want to avail themselves of this program, they are able to go work with the Restorative Justice Program, and most of the time, these cases end up being dismissed.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'll just wait.
Any other questions for the Assistant Attorney General? Seeing none, Thank you very much for your participation here.
Thank you, Mayor.
Also in my reports, I'd like to have both our public works director and our engineer come up and share the microphone to Bob and Jeremiah to discuss with us lighting and a few other items. Victor, pay attention. So, we had some lighting issues. And tell us about the discovery, Jeremiah.
So, this weekend we discovered that the problem was a box right over here on 8th Avenue between Lacey and Noble that had an old system that was hooked up to it that we had thought that was not hooked up anymore, but to some aspect it was hooked up and causing the light outages from the river all the way to 28th, Lathrop to Noble. So it was hooked up to quite a bit of lights. And
how did you go about finding this out?
Well, I came into town when I was told that the lights were out, and I got with Star.
What day and at what time?
Okay, so day and time. So Saturday, it went out Friday, and it was already too late for me to get to coming into town. So I came into town Saturday and got prepared for Saturday night. I got in contact with Star to kind of give him a warning that I was going to be in town to observe what was going to happen with the streetlights. And lo and behold, they went out again, and I phoned them right away with the pre-warning so they were ready for me to call. And they got right on it, and they reduced it down to the problem right here. They called it MCP1 on 8th Avenue. And I met him over there, and he had the lights already flipped on for me. And then he showed me that what the problem was. He flipped it to one position on the switch, and, of course, all the lights went out. Okay, and he turned it back on, and he said, all the lights are back on. So I was like, cool, well, I'm glad we finally found the problem or the culprit. And now we just got to get a permanent fix in.
Bob, what's your thought of permanent fix? Or where do we go from here in this bird's nest?
Yeah, I mean, just a little background maybe. I mean, normally things are pretty routine. If a bulb burns out, you know, Public Works calls our retained electrical contractor and they change the bulb. If it gets a little more involved, engineering, we get involved. We have a street light map that shows all the circuitry and the load centers and the control cabinets, and then it's attached to a spreadsheet. So going back a little further, about 10 years ago, we got the idea that we would override the photo control cells. There's three of them in the city. They're called master photo control cells. They sense light. So we got the idea to install this master computer that would override these photo cells in the idea of trying to save power, money really, right? Turn the lights on later and turn them off earlier. So that system didn't work. It was overcomplicated and we abandoned it. But it apparently was never totally disconnected. There's a box on the pole that Jeremiah was talking about. So when I saw the picture this morning and Star said they don't know anything about it, I recognize it as a remnant of this device. And it apparently has a battery in it. It was energized. Nobody's opened the cabinet for years, and it was energized. So what we want to do is totally, permanently, completely disconnect this thing from the system and then put in a new detector, photo cell right at that particular control cabinet, and it should fix the problem.
Questions, Ms. Sprinkle?
Is that why in my neighborhood the lights didn't go off all day?
Jeremiah was talking about, just like a service entrance at your house, it's essentially a load center for your house. The streetlight system has load centers everywhere. And if you open that cabinet, there's a switch in there that can turn it off. There's one that can turn it on auto, and there's one that can turn it on manual. The control circuit is controlled when the switch is on auto. The control circuit takes over. It senses when the light is right and it turns on and turns off and it's a lower voltage circuit. If we can't fix it or if we can't figure out the problem when it's on auto and we want lights on at night, we can turn it to manual. So it'll just be on all the time until somebody switches it off a manual. So to get them on at night, we turn it on manual, let them burn during the day, and then we'll fix it. Yeah. Well, some of the stuff's pretty old, and some of it has violations, you know, but anyway.
Mr. Clayworth.
Hey, Bob, when Jerry Culp was here, I think he handled most of the lighting stuff, remember right. But I thought at the time we were using a computer system that was, you know, set up for each day of the year and when I would turn on and turn off. But we're not doing that anymore. It's all photo
system. That was the idea. That's what I was talking about. That system, you know, the Jerry was involved with. And now we've got Tim assigned to it. You know, we do have an engineer assigned to the streetlight system. But the computer idea was essentially a good one, but it seemed to never work correctly. And the computer required these devices to be set out at the three or four or two remaining photocells that control all the lights of the city. So those devices are still on the poles out there, but we thought they were totally disconnected, but they weren't. Well, there's photocells, but the... This computer idea overrode the photocells. We were going to use the computer. The photocells, their sensitivity is set. So if we wanted the lights to come on later to save more money, let's say, instead of the photocell is going to come on at 6 o'clock, well, we really wanted to go on at 6:30. So we would override it. But it didn't work.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Comments to Public Works. Great job on getting the gravel out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Great job.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The only complaint I heard was you didn't do University West. Damn. That was the only complaint I heard.
Well,
you can't do them all, sir.
Right. And I just want to give a thank you to my team at Public Works for those who brave the roads to come in on their off days to sand the city of Fairbanks for all the residents and business owners and stuff to keep us safe out there on those roads. Because, yeah, it was hard for them to even get to Public Works.
To conclude my comments, Ms. Sprinkle brought up the tragedy that happened at the Midnight Mine parking lot. And on that evening, that morning when it happened, my phone started going off at 4:38 a.m. with communications with the police officers and detectives involved. And I must highly commend the dispatch and the police officers and their coordination and how they got the suspect and the process of which they did. Then I would like to thank Mr. Menzik, who's in the gallery here. He asked me if I would meet with the deceased gentleman's mom, and I said yes. And that was not an easy meeting, but I believe it was a very good meeting. And she had a request, and she requested that she would like to get together with the dispatch personnel and the police officers and thank them. So I've checked with dispatch and police chief and head of dispatch. And Mr. Menzik, that's a yes. We'd like to coordinate a time frame for his mom to meet with the people who really coordinated and made a great investigation. So, you know, in times of tragedy, we have the best, and the best came out in the worst of circumstances. That concludes my report. Madam Clerk.
Council member comments.
Ms. Therian, how's the beach?
Excuse me, it's doing great. I will have some comments about our legislative meeting with our lobbyists when we do committee reports. Thank you.
Ms. Tidwell, nice Ice Dogs shirt there.
Thank
it's hockey
you.
Week.
It is hockey week. This last weekend, I went and watched the Guns N' Hoses game, which is the firefighters and the police. And I've wanted to go and see that event the last couple of years and didn't make it. They are a lot more impressive. Like I didn't expect to be too wowed, but man, that was a really good game. And some of those guys can really skate. And it was really neat to see even, you know, the Chiefs out there, and really enjoyed that. It was great. It was a great game.
The police are already crying foul in their loss. Mr. Marnie.
Well, I'll begin with a couple of thank yous. Jeremiah, thank you, your crew. Give them our thanks for doing, you know, coming in on their off time. And Mayor, thank you for getting involved in that murder. And it seems like a miracle that somebody in dispatch did what they did and were able to pinpoint where this guy was.
You know, discussing it with her, she's something else. That crew over there is something else. I mean, she knew something was wrong. This wasn't right. So she brought the officers after them. And then later on, the officers have found the weapon.
They did.
Yes.
And then last of all, I did a little homework. I called Senator Solomon's office on this, the post office issue. And talked to Greg Brinkhurst, and I think the senator was aware of it. My question to him was, you know, I thought that was federal property, and, you know, I know our police department is good about taking care of Fairbanks citizens, but, you know, I don't know if it's really our call or our jurisdiction. Never got that answered, but it's nice to be able to call a senator's office in town and have a nice conversation and have them do something. I was quite impressed.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I just want to say that thank you for the DA for having that set up. And I really look forward to whatever comes of that meeting, because it seems to be it's a tinder box right now. I feel for Bobby and sister. So thank you for arranging that.
Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. And along with Councilmember Marnie and everybody, thank you, Jeremiah. If he's still here, yep. For the work you did this weekend. That was a disaster waiting to happen. And fortunately, in the city here, every day I went out, I felt pretty safe. So, and I saw the remains of the pea gravel where they should be. And I appreciate that. I appreciate Bobby Nicolaitis for coming down tonight. He shares a story that all of us that work in the downtown have. I worked down there pretty much all my life, and you deal with people. Sometimes you can deal well with them, and they take your criticism and your hopes and take that and improve their behavior, so to speak. Other times it is pretty much, no, mind your own business and we'll do what we want to do. Mr. Marnie and I deal with that once a week across the street over here all the time and working with people. The problem is that there needs to be, and there's been so many groups over the decades I've been on city council to try and deal with this problem, and they come up with no concrete answers, and there probably is no concrete answer. But when you have people that are trespassing and they do it multiple times and it results in arrest, there is a point to where that individual needs to be removed or something needs to be done to you. And that's why I was asking about guardianship. If you have a chronic alcoholic, and you've had many of them over the years, they need to go up one more step than us arresting them and then being back on the street in 24 hours. It makes no sense. And I know the police don't like dealing with it again and again and again, the same person, same individual again. But what do we need to do with laws or things to give a hammer to take it up one step from there rather than just have a revolving door? And I don't have an answer to that. And I know you all have thought about that time and time again, but we need to have some kind of tools to deal with folks that are just absolutely chronic, as opposed to those that may come to town and do something on a weekend, you know, from a rural area or something and make a mistake. Very different situation on that. And then there are the mental folks that we have to deal with, and that's probably the biggest problem we have at our store. And these people kind of come and go. I don't know. For a while, we get used to somebody, and then they're gone. But they're the more dangerous ones because they can and do become violent at times. And how do we handle that? And the police have to handle it, and the crisis now folks have to handle it also. But what tools do they need to do a better job so that the situation that we had at the post office doesn't happen again? I mean, here we have a block or two away a facility for them to be at in the nighttime. Why are they there and not there? You know, these questions I don't have answers for. But what tools can we as store owners, restaurant owners, have to deal with them in a more productive manner than what we're doing now, rather than just yelling at them and running people out of the store when they're causing a real problem? So good luck, Mayor. If you're working on this, you know, I think that's the main thing is what
I'm
tools
gonna
can we
I'm going to be quite aggressive, actually.
Okay.
Quite aggressive. I know. Okay, Madam Clerk.
We are at unfinished business. Ordinance number 6303, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 26, Article 3, Sections 26-94 and 26-95, amending the term of a private ambulance service license and renewal procedures, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 6303? Is there a second? Mr. Marnie, is there any citizen here wishing to speak on ordinance 6303? If so, please come forward, state your name and residence, and you'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Discussion, Council. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. On the first page here under item number one, we have the new wording. It says license fees may be prorated for an entity not licensed under this chapter at any point in the previous year. Not sure I understand that. And then I go on to page three to where we're talking about renewal of licenses. And it's saying that they're going to be renewed, all of them, on the last day of February each year. So I guess the scenario I am, let's say I apply for a license in January, I pay my fees. Do I get another? Is it going to be on a prorated basis, and I get another bill in February? And Danny probably has all the answers to my questions. I don't know.
I'm sure she does.
I think that the first page, the question, and Tom, I think maybe this is your language, so maybe I should just let Tom speak to it.
The whole point of this ordinance was to correct an oversight that we had previously, where there was a fixed point when the licenses were going to be renewed, and there was also some competing language that suggested that folks coming in at different times would be not subject to that. It was like their license would come up on an annual basis, regardless of the language that said it was going to be fixed. What we've done here with Ordinance 6303 is corrected that problem so that both A sub 1 and the fixed last day of February each year that Councilmember Cleworth pointed out work together. So to your question, Councilmember Cleworth, you're a licensee, you come in June, so I would expect that you would get prorated for the remainder of the year. When you go to renew your license, you would be subject to the same requirements that any renewal would have, and that would happen at the last day of February each year. So the first year you'd get a prorated amount, the second year going forward you'd have to pay the full license fee. The reason that we had to have this language not licensed under this chapter at any point in the previous year was because we wanted that prorate to only take effect one time so that people couldn't come back and kind of use the language to get out of paying a full year.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on Ordinance 6303?
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt Ordinance 6303 passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
We're moving on to new business. The first item pulled there is Item F, Ordinance Number 6304, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Chapter 54, Procurement, Sections 54-39 and 54-241 to clarify this, the council notification requirement for sole source purchasing, introduced by Mayor Prus.
Mr. Clearworth, is there a motion to advance?
So moved.
Ordinance. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Clearworth, discussion. You brought this up.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Again, on the first page, Item B, the letter is underlined, but the text is not. However, prior to that, there was no... I'm a little confused there what has happened. Should that be underlined, or is it...
Let me get there. I'm sorry. Say again where you are, Mr. Clearer.
On the first page, it's Item B down there near the bottom.
I see.
It's a new subsection we're adding.
Correct. The reason for that, it does look a little funny, is because that sentence currently belongs with A in the code, and we're just separating it out to become its new section. It's not new language. It's just making a new subsection.
Okay. I think that fooled me, because normally when we eliminate something, if it was an A, it would be lined out. But that's not the exact language that's lined out in Item A there.
Oh, correct. Instead of lining it out, we just moved it down, did a new paragraph, and added a B.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay. Mr. Clearworth, I don't.
The mayor is in a hurry.
Nope. How do you know?
He lost his bet.
Or he lost his bet, yeah.
I already told that to the Madam Clerk. We're past it, so I'm not in no hurry anymore.
It says purchasing agent may award the sale, trade, or disposal of all personal property which has become surplus, obsolete, or unusable. There are restrictions on, of course, the items in the evidence room at the police department, and when we do gun sales and things, that's delineated in other parts of the code. Is that correct? Because a purchasing agent would not dispose of those. The guns that are sold are done at public auction. And they are not sole sourced out.
It's correct. It's in a different section of code, but okay. That language may need to.
You, Justin?
Yeah.
We'll bring this up at the next work session.
Okay. That's it on that. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll to advance Ordinance 6304?
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clearworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ordinance 6304 advances by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
Item G of new business was also pulled. That's Ordinance Number 6305, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 70-162 to ensure visible and safe traffic intersections and amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services, introduced by Mayor Prus.
Is there a motion to advance Ordinance 6305?
Move to approve.
Second by Mr. Marnie. Mr. Clearworth, you brought this one up.
Okay. I think Sue meant to advance, right?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. First page again, the regulation, it says regulation for planting in or near a public place. It's a little bit in conflict with D on the next page. And I'm sorry if I sound nitpicky here.
You know, I'd rather have we do it right, that way we don't have to clean it up later, so don't worry.
Under D, setback, it says any obstruction blocking sight. So any obstruction includes fences and other things. It's not just foliage that we're talking about. So we've got the heading of this section, just talking about planting, and then we go on to talk about other obstructions. I think maybe we need to clean that up a little bit. If I were looking through our code for this subject, I would see the word planting and then move on. If it was about a fence, I was worried about.
Why don't, where is the word planting? I don't see that.
It's on the first page.
Yeah.
It says section 70-162.
Yes.
Regulation for planting.
Oh, sorry. Got it.
What I'll do is prior to our work session, I'll sit down with our chief engineer, Bob, who brought a lot of this up, and Mr. Chard here, our attorney, and email me those items that you have so we can address them individually, Mr. Clayworth, on this. Okay. That way we can go through it in the work session.
The problem I have with this is any obstruction with fences. Mm-hmm. We ran into this years ago as an appeals board for the Planning Commission at the borough, and an issue was brought to us about a gentleman off Cowell Street who had a fence that the borough had taken objection to. And he had appealed the decision that he had to take this fence down or move it because the fence actually went back to territorial days, and it did. And the city council unanimously sided with him, saying that we didn't feel he had to take his fence down after it's been there since most of the people on the Planning Commission weren't even born at the time. But
there's grandfathering it in.
There is, but I don't see here, it just says any obstruction blocking site. Where do we draw the lines? I guess I need to know, or when we get to the work session, what the borough rules and regs are on fences. What's grandfathered, what is not, what standards we follow. And that's the one that can get you really into some trouble and with people.
You mean once every 20 years we might have something like this?
Hopefully not even that. If we have things spelled out, you don't have a problem like that. But you don't go after somebody's fence if it's been there for, 10, 20 years. I have a problem with that.
You're correct, and what we'll also do is make sure the appeal process is in place to appeal directly to me, and also then to the city council for final arbitration of this. Do you have that, Mr. Chardon? That way you have checks and balances in place. Anytime you're dealing with people's property, you want the checks and balances in place.
But mainly getting the borough code on this too. It'd be nice to see that.
Okay, any other discussion? Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on advancing ordinance 6305?
Mr. Clayworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ordinance 6305 advances by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
Moving on to the next item pulled is ordinance number 6306, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code section 70-161 and the local amendments to the 2018 International Fire Code adopted by reference at Fairbanks General Code section 30-32 and amending the city schedule of fees and charges for service to ensure access to fire hydrants, introduced by Mayor Prus.
Is there a motion to advance ordinance 6306?
So moved.
So moved.
Second by Mr. Clayworth. Advance. Yep. Motion by Ms. Therrien. Jerry, discussion.
This one's pretty simple. On page 2 of 3 under E, the bottom sentence there says within 24 hours after having received notice from the Director of Public Works. Sometimes people can't move within 24 hours, so my guess is that Jeremiah would use some discretion on that, but this looks pretty locked tight. It would be maybe when we get to the work session, we could add on to that sentence unless an extension is agreed to by the parties or something of that nature, to give our public works director some
discretion.
Absolutely, because if you come to me and say you've got 24 hours to do something, sometimes you just can't do it that quick. That's pretty tight.
Well, you have to have a standard, but you have to have an adaptable standard.
Yep.
So, okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on advancing ordinance 6306?
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaver?
Yes.
Ordinance 6306 advances by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
All right. The last item pulled is ordinance number 6308, an ordinance reestablishing the incentive bonus program with the Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center for recruitment and hiring, introduced by Mayor Prus.
Is there a motion to advance ordinance 6308? Second by Mr. Marnie. Discussion, Mr. Marnie, you pulled this one.
Yeah, I had a couple of issues with this, not major, but there was one sentence. Excuse me, I need to find it now. One of the issues I had that I can expound on immediately is, is the fact here, I'm dumbfounded here. Is the fact that you could come back after a year and do this again? I'm trying to find that little sentence. I should have highlighted it. That was one issue. And the other issue I had with this is the fact that, unlike the police, in their ordinance, they give something, you know, you get half of it after you've been there for 3 years. So you have some kind of retention tool there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that in this. You get paid first after you go through training, and then you get the other half pretty much right away. And I'm sorry I'm not more specific, but...
Mr. Sanders, you want to bring us to this, please?
Sure. I think I can address both of those. In section 1A, towards the bottom there, it says no applicant may receive a sign-on bonus more than once, and no applicant. Yeah. So right there, that
12 months. Yes, sir.
Right. The first part of that sentence, though, no applicant may receive a sign-on bonus more than once.
Well, the problem I had was down at the last sentence was employed within 12 months of rehire. So you could get the bonus and then stay the designated time and then quit and then come back in a year and get it?
No, that's not how it's intended to be.
That's not the intent anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is the same language that was in there previously. We've had the same ordinance before.
So basically, I think the only thing I would like to see is some kind of retention tool in this is what I would wish for.
Ms. Tidwell.
There is a little bit of that in, like, on the attachment A, number 4, basically says that they will stay for at least 3 years, and should they not stay, they would have to repay it prorated. So that is added in there.
Okay, well, I guess I wasted everybody's time.
Mr. Marnie. I'd rather have a discussion so everyone knows exactly and understands versus have anyone leave without total understanding. Okay. You wasted no one's time.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Mr. Cleworth.
I think the difference, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong on here, on this one, they're going to get the second half upon completion of training. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that would take place sometime within a year, I assume.
9 months if they're flying through it, but yeah, usually a year or so.
Okay. With the police, it's the second half after 3 years, right?
Correct.
Okay. So they're different, Lonnie, on that. And I mean, if you're looking, the reason we changed that the last time the police was up for these retention bonuses, it was a longer stretch in order to get that second half. But, I mean, if you're looking at retention, then you might want to look at it a longer stretch for dispatch for this. You know, I don't know, it's 3 years, 2 years, whatever you want to do there. But
well, if you look at the actual results of this, they were doing pretty good. They hired six, and they have currently, what, 4? So that's a pretty good program, where it looks like the pleas were about a 50%.
I was in there the other day, and there was 2 trainees in there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's in Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center. I mean, there was five people in there. And it was great.
I think Mike wanted to respond to my question there.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know that with there's a big difference between a $60,000 sign-on bonus and a $15,000. I mean, if you're going to, you know, make somebody wait for, you know, 3 years for $7,000, I don't know that has the same effect.
Probably negative.
Right, yeah.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on advancing Ordinance 6308?
Ms. Sprinkle.
Yes.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes.
Mr. Kleber.
Yes.
Mr. Marnie.
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell.
Yes.
Ordinance number 6308 advances by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
We're at committee reports and council member comments.
Ms. Therrien.
Thank you. We had a meeting of the legislative committee on January 22nd, and we were able to discuss the fact that the new intern Sky was there. John Ringstein was unable to join us, and Brenda at Crisis Now wanted to make sure that we kept on top of the mental health bills. Right now there's a $1.5 billion deficit, and they're not sure that they're going to be able to use the CBR to help take care of that problem. With regard to the budget, they're hoping for a supplemental appropriation for municipal assistance. Right now, it's only $23 million, so we'd only get $80,000 as opposed to $400,000 to $500,000. Mike Sanders is going to be working on the capital requests, and I guess that's going to be taken care of in March. And we went through all of the priorities that we had listed. One of the things that we were talking about were the penalties for spitting on public safety officers, and the statute right now has a mandatory 2 months in jail and a $25,000 fine. So Mike was going to look into an alternative, maybe using an assault under the fourth degree, which would add a smaller penalty, or under criminal mischief. So Yuri was going to follow through on that. Copying, editing, Yuri was going to work on that a little bit and talk with Tyler Watson at the State Troopers on how they do it. Yeah. And the mayor was planning on going to Juneau in February during the AML, and I will probably be going in March, and then the mayor will go in April, and the legislature adjourns on the 21st. And Yuri thought that the dividend would probably be $1,000. There'd be a flat operating budget and a modest capital budget. And that's my report.
Valerie, that was a very thorough that was a very thorough report. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Clear.
Oh, I also was wondering if anybody had any questions. I was able to take some time and do up my report for attending the AML conference in December. I have my booklet and my notes. If anybody has any questions, I separated it into three emails. And I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look at those yet, but I thought it was very worthwhile, and I would really like to work on collaboration with our Native organizations in the Fairbanks area to help us with regard to funding problems in our community. And I'd like to see us work on that when I get back.
Thank you. Mr. Clearworth.
One item, Mayor, and that was, I think we got from the city clerk. was a pass-on letter from the Chena Riverfront Commission about the bicycle path, pedestrian path, where they have had troubles coming into agreement with the Alaska Railroad on the properties over there by Pegger Road. This came to us at Fast Planning, too. I had a letter from Alaska Railroad, and they kind of summed up the problems. And I'll just give you a brief read of what's going on here. This is from the railroad. It says, we recognize that DOT has requirements under the code of federal regulations applicable to the project. By the same token, the Alaska Railroad has statutory requirements it must follow with respect to trail projects in the land. And then it goes down into problems with indemnification. So the railroad turns it over to the borough, or the DOT, I guess it would be DOT. Then DOT would have to come up with indemnification of any problems of having that path on their properties. How they do that, I'm not real sure. So there are both organizations under different rules and regulations, and they're trying to figure out how to make that work. And it's been going on for quite some time now. So the appeal here from the Chena Riverfront Commission is that the higher-ups in the organization, quote, figure it out. Not sure how they're going to do that with their own rules and regulations they have to comply with, but hopefully something can be thought of. I don't know. Have you been involved in that, Mayor, at all?
For 30 years.
Yeah. Okay.
What it'll take is a purchase.
Yeah.
On the whole property. Most likely.
I was talking to Councilmember Sprinkle earlier about that. I said for them to sell that, you know, if their goal is to maximize return on the properties that the railroad has been given to make sure that the railroad runs profitably, the ultimate use for that property would be Chena Riverfront property, which is not cheap. They could sell it for residential or other development, and probably do a lot better than having a bike path on it. But if you're going to give it, if the railroad has to give it the evaluation based on what they could do with it, I'm not sure how DOT could afford it, but whatever.
Let me tell you how small of a town Fairbanks is. Did you look at the signatories on that letter to us from the Riverfront Commission?
I did.
Yeah, one of them was Wade Binkley. And I met with his father, who's a board member of the railroad, the president of the railroad. I believe it was on Friday evening they had their annual party up here. Now, that should make some very interesting dinner conversation between those two. So anyway, Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, well, the Riverfront Commission did in fact meet last week. That topic was very, very, I don't want to say heated, but it was a concern because it has been going on since, what, 1988, I think.
It started in 1994, 95.
All right, well, I have paperwork that looks even older than that. But you know how I ask questions, and I ask questions to the purpose of getting them into the public, having the dialogue, and that it does make people nervous. So I am still confused as to how that's gotten so tangled up, but nonetheless, let's hope that we'll get a river walk or that the city will end up with that property on the tax rolls. In addition to the Riverfront Commission, which is, that's quite its own little animal, I just did the board of directors at Fairbanks Chamber today, and their big push is the fly-in this coming week to push the same agendas that we're all talking about. And I was told that they had two majors, cheap energy and workforce development. And I am new to this, and I just waved my hand. I said, how about housing? So I missed that boat, but I still think that's an important concern we have statewide, and I didn't get very far with that. But anyway, interesting meeting. I'm still catching up, and I think that's all I have right now. Thank you.
I appreciate you handling that. I really do. Thank you. I would call on Mr. Ringstead, but he gave me a call, and he had a wonderful priority with his grandkids, so I gave him an excused absence because I agreed with his priority. So we'll go to Mr. Marnie.
Well, I have no committee, but I would like to reach out to Bobby. I'm not going to butcher your last name, but I recommend that you take Bryn Butler's advice or help. She's got a wonderful rapport with the street people that are here, and she works magic. She really does. If I would reach out to her as soon as tomorrow or the next day, and she'll be more than happy, probably come by the restaurant and talk.
Well, absolutely. I'll take her up
on it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the lady with a changing last name with pink Ice Dogs jersey. Crystal.
I don't have a committee report. We do have a Economic Development Commission meeting tomorrow at 2:30 over at the Borough, where we will hear the presentation from JOMO regarding the Ardor and discuss that. And I did want to let Valerie know, I will be in Juneau the beginning of February also. So if there is something specific, maybe we could have a conversation before I go down there. I'm happy to, I'll have some time. I could do some city stuff as well. So.
Ms. Tidwell, I'd like to recognize and thank you for your time frame on the Planning Commission. It's enjoyable.
Is it done?
I know. Hey, I had nothing to do with your retirement.
I know.
Thank you. Madam Clerk.
Who's the replacement?
What's that?
Who's the replacement?
Who did I put on there?
Oh,
Olivia,
that's right.
Rodriguez.
That's right.
Olivia Rodriguez.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah. Madam Clerk.
I'll just report that the Citizen Engagement Academy for this year enrollment is full, but there is a wait list, so we're excited about that. And that will begin March 6th, but if you're interested, please still submit your application. You never know if we can get you in there. Mayor Prus raised an issue of the meeting schedule for 2025 and requested that the March 10th meeting be moved to March 17th.
Yes, it does. It doesn't matter. Can you? I'm going to be going down to Washington, D.C. It's just an opportune time for me to do it, leave. And so I thought instead of the 10th, we'd move it back 1 week. Then we have the 3rd and the 5th Monday of that month. If Ms. Sprinkle, this is my issue, so. If that's a bad day for you or you can't Zoom in, I can have Jerry run the meeting in my place. But think about it, and we'll work on that. Yeah. So appreciate you trying. If you can try, Jerry will run the meeting for me. Any other items, Madam Clerk?
Yep, but just if that is going to be amended, we just need to do it by motion of the council in a meeting in the future. Does the city attorney have anything to report?
Just noting that the time is 7:58, and as always, appreciate everybody's commitment to the community. Thank you.
I was... Explanation. Seeing Ms. Therrien.
I was wondering if you could give us an update on what happened with the venue motion.
Venue motion?
The change of venue with regard to the litigation. Can you tell us what's going on with that, or is that confidential?
So,
that'd be confidential.
Yeah.
That's executive session.
Okay.
Well, actually, we're at the attorney poking the mayor bear.
Councilmember Therrien, I'd invite you to just give me a call, and I can update you per your request.
Thank you.
When the agenda came out, I saw that we had no executive session, and I thought, we're going to get through this fast. Little did I know that with everyone that I called on to be in my report before this agenda, after this agenda came out, that I'd be, but I'd be horribly losing my thought. And then Jerry, of course, pulls four different things on purpose, on purpose to expand the meeting to make me lose even more. But I'm okay with it. We had a great meeting. Motion to adjourn. Any objection? Any objection, Jerry? We're adjourned. Good meeting.